All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Then we're going to go to the plane crash in Philadelphia. If I can get the chat to pop up. There we go, right there in the chat. All right, here we go. Neanderthal Soup is on. Joe Heathen is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Joanne's is on. Swethy is on. Hotshot Insights is on. Grant 2468 is on. BP2 Tim 17 is on. D9597 is on. Order in the Court is on. LA 106 Times is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Patty K 44 already in the Rumble Ran. $5. Thank you so much is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Sixlin is on. A. Wethy is on. Mike Griffith's on. Motown JBH is on. Just Fact is on. Luann 5 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Tina Rowena is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Why Not Me is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Waterline 46 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Peg McGroin is on. Coco Dominky is on. Let me see. Snoddotted 311 is on. Aaron Yeager, the producer, is on. I just hit the wrong thing. There we go. Back on. I can't believe it worked. All right, let me see here. Volvo 960 is on. Mark 1069 is on. Naz Yeager is on. Clean, the one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Uncle Wally is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. All right, appreciate you guys. Let's hop right to it. Let's go to the plane crash that happened in Philadelphia. Happened right before the podcast. Aaron threw the stuff together for me. I just read a little bit before the podcast. Not a whole lot of giant news has come out, but the main information has come out. Breaking update, Nick Sorter tweet, the plane which crashed in Philadelphia appears to be a Learjet 55 air ambulance from Mexico. I mean, I don't know if they're running patients or what. Nick Sorter says on the bottom, the plane in Philadelphia just slammed into a row of houses like a missile. It seems to have crashed shortly after takeoff from Philly's Executive Airport. No word on what caused it to crash into the ground. I haven't seen anything on word of why the causation yet. Have you, Aaron?
No,
I haven't
not
seen
yet.
Anything yet.
No.
So we'll just keep Aaron. I'll be checking throughout the podcast if we see anything more on that. I'll show you the video that we do have. This stuff is absolutely startling. Aaron, just tape them all together. Run them. I don't. You can just run them. You don't need to side by side, man.
All right. Got it.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, just get a long way, brother.
All right, brother. All right.
Just stay on the other side of this tape line right here, okay? All right, appreciate it.
Medevac MedService 056 on departure, turn right heading 290, runway 24, clear for takeoff, wind 25010. Medevac MedService 056 affirmative. On departure, turn right heading 290, runway 24, clear for takeoff. Medevac MedService 056, contact Philly departure 123.8.
123.8, Mike Tango Sierra 056, Medevac. Thank you, good day.
Medevac MedService 056, Northeast Tower, contact Philly 123.8. Medevac MedService Northeast Tower. Medevac MedService 056, Northeast Tower, you on frequency?
Medevac Mike Tango Sierra 056, Northeast Tower, how do you hear this transmission?
Medevac MedService 056, Northeast Tower.
Foxtrot, Northeast Ground, Roger. Stand by one. I'll get back to you when I can.
Approach to runway 24. What's going on down there?
Position 755. We have a lost aircraft. We're not exactly sure what happened, so we're trying to figure it out. For now, the field is going to be closed, so no inbounds or outbounds probably.
All right, understand. Thank you.
We're 6098 Foxtrot. I'm sure you copied that. But for right now, we're gonna call the field closed. We'll try to get you out here when we can. If we can't, we'll have to take you over to Atlantic. But stand by for now.
Some wild stuff, man. It is wild stuff. You know, there's not a whole lot to say about it. It's just some wild times that we're living in after what happened yesterday, which really, I was trying to remember the stats. I've got a really long video. Now, I don't think it'll be the longest video we've ever shown of an analysis by a pilot. 13-minute analysis about what happened yesterday that I just have to show you. I don't like to show videos that long, but it's very intriguing. It's done in an excellent way. But I'm trying to remember the last time, I think he said, it wasn't necessarily that article that I read, but another one, that it's been 12 years since we've had a collision like that, like yesterday's thing. So, I mean, just and today to see this, I don't recall ever seeing anything like that. I mean, I'm trying to remember, I'm 56 years old, ever seeing a plane fall out of the sky like that. I don't think I've ever seen it. And just once again, I'm just thrilled that I'm going to be flying in less than 2 weeks. And this is all the news stories right now. I'm thrilled because I hate flying anyway. And I'm so glad that these are all the headlines right now. But anyway, if more comes up on it, we'll cover it. But anyway, let's hop into Trump news. Trump, I titled the show tonight, Trump Moves. He's making lots of moves. Go ahead and put the first one up for me, Brent. And wokeness tweet. Trump just banned. I love this. I mean, I absolutely love this. Not a lot to discuss. Not a lot to say about it, except that I love what Trump is doing. I mean, I really have outside of the AI stuff that he did. I mean, with OpenAI and all, I wasn't crazy about all that. But outside of that, I mean, just A++. I mean, what is today? Friday. So what are we like 9 days in, you know, roughly ish into this administration? I mean, just A++. I mean, look at this. This is what you do. You ever see George W. Bush do this? Herbert Walker Bush do this? Ronald Reagan do this? Nixon? No. They didn't know how to fight because they were all career politicians. They were all entrenched in the Washington establishment. I mean, all of them too. They were all, you know, they had to go to their cocktail parties. They had to do all these things. The exception maybe being Reagan to some degree, but Reagan amounted way too much debt because he didn't cut spending like he should. But anyway, and we'll see if Trump amounted way too much debt too. But this is how you fight. If these people are going to hurt you, get rid of them. It's right out of Numbers 33:55. You need to read it. Great, great Bible verse about getting rid of the people. If you're gonna take over, get rid of the inhabitants that are already in the land. Or they're gonna be thorns in your sides and irritants in your eyes. Get rid of these people. Trump just banned the 51 Intel agents who lied about Biden's laptop from entering all federal buildings. Not only did he get rid of all their top secret security clearances, those are gone. They can't even enter the buildings now. This is what you do. You're like, well, you know what? It's only for a few years. Good. This will destroy their careers in a few years. And you think Vance is going to give it back to him when he's president 4 years from now? No. Because he doesn't want these people to be backdooring him either and sabotaging and torpedoing his presidency like these people did. And by the way, this is how you fight. People think that not those of you that are watching this podcast, but I'm just saying weaker conservative people, they all think this is also some sort of game. That you know what? Okay, I got you. You got me. You said you called me names and I called you names. I won a debate. You lost the debate. I lost the debate. You won the debate. Whatever it may be. And that's the end of that. You know, I got these campaign contributions. I beat you in this campaign. You beat me in this election. Whatever it may be. It's not that. These people want to either kill Trump or put him in prison. And again, it's not just about Donald Trump. Again, like Donald Trump always says, they're doing this to me so they can get to you. You know, just like they want to mandate a deadly vaccination. So literally they want to kill you because an abortionist is an abortionist. They are what they are. The die is cast. When you want to kill the unborn, you'll kill anybody. So I mean death too. This is serious business. These people are responsible for falsely putting people in prison and killing people. This is real stuff. It's not just, you know, CNN debate shows. It's not just Fox News debate shows. It's not even just podcasts. This is serious business. And these people in this picture are liars who committed a crime in influencing the 2020 election by saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. And they can word salad it and Warren game it and Potomac two-step it all they want, but that's exactly what they did. So they've lost their security clearance. You're like, what's the big deal? They're not working in government. No, they secure multi-million dollar contracts because they have security clearance. So how does that work, Tom? Corruption. Corruption, because the love of money is the root of all evil, which is all these people care about. They don't care about the security of the United States of America. They care about lining their own pockets and their own personal prosperity. That's it. All right, let's go to the next one. Western Lensman video. There's lots of scalps. We got lots of scalps going on. Chuck Todd is now out at NBC News. It's one scalp after another. Jim Acosta yesterday, Chuck Todd today. Just want to remind you who Chuck Todd is. Play for me, Brent.
Please get vaccinated. If you know someone who's not vaccinated, find a way to convince them to get vaccinated. Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. People are needlessly dying because of your misinformation. Think about it. I don't know how some of you sleep at night who are doing this for a living.
Not one apology, not one retraction. He was saying, those of you who are spreading misinformation, the only person spreading misinformation about the vaccination was Chuck Todd. Has he ever said, I was the one spreading misinformation? You know, to his credit, Piers Morgan seems to be having some come to Jesus moments in his interview with Chuck with Tucker Carlson. He's admitting his wrongdoing. And he was fooled. I did hear him say I was wrong. I did. That's very unusual. Has Chuck Todd ever come out and said that? As he wags his finger at all of us for spreading misinformation? We were right. He was wrong. And he's never come out and said, you were right and I was wrong. Never. Not one time, because these people are soulless, devoid of all human dignity and all integrity people. That's who they are. They don't care that what he said was a bold-faced lie. And he said it with such demonic conviction. The only people that are dying are the vaccinated. And again, I don't want to get too far into COVID, but you remember Rochelle Walensky's exit testimony in front of Congress when she had resigned as the head of the CDC, and they asked her, how did you know that the only people that were dying were the vaccinated? And she said, we didn't. And why did she allow it to be propagated? Because what she said was, there was no discernible way for us to know who was vaccinated and who wasn't going to the hospitals. So they were not testing. How do you test whether somebody's vaccinated or not? So they were going by deaths in hospitals and attributing them to the unvaxxed when they had no idea who was vaxxed or unvaxxed in the hospitals. And you have Chuck Todd waving his fingers. These people are all liars. It's all lies. That's why all of us want. So why all of us are listening towards conspiracy theories, because we certainly can't believe what none of us for years have thought that the mainstream media were purveyors of truth. I'm just saying, none of us believe anything we're told anymore. Do you? How could you? Those of you who are spreading misinformation, how do you live with yourself while he pimps that a vaccine is going to stop transmission and infection? When the vaccine was never even tried to see, they never even did vaccine trials, as confessed to by Pfizer, to determine whether it stopped transmission or infection. Of course, it turned out not to stop transmission or infection. All it did was actually cause 36 million excess deaths, according to the Society of Actuaries. And that's just people with life insurance that we know about. The excess death rate in America only started to rise after the vaccination, not during the epicenter of COVID. Man, I need to take a breath. I shouldn't be talking about COVID stuff. All right, it's more on Chuck Todd. Brother Scout, Jim Acosta yesterday, Chuck Todd today. Why are they firing all these people? Because nobody's watching them, and they're hoping to revive their networks by bringing in fresh blood, I guess. All right, May's video. Chuck Todd has left NBC News. Play for me.
Instead of Roger Stone and WikiLeaks, it's Rudy Giuliani and some computer guy in Delaware. So this didn't work, so he'll try another planted story or another, you know, Russian, discredited Russian propaganda. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you. Shame on you. I don't know how some of you sleep at night who are doing this for a living on television.
So on Hunter Biden's laptop, he calls it a Trump planted story when Hunter under the influence of however many narcotics were in his body, stumbled into a computer repair shop, doesn't even remember that he was ever there and left it there. And Trump planted it. And that's somebody who, from NBC News, claiming that Donald Trump planted the story. And by the way, at the moment that he was saying that, the FBI already had it in their custody for a year and knew that it wasn't Russian disinformation, knew it had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Nothing. It had to do with Hunter Biden in a drunken high state going to a computer repair shop, dropping off his computer and forgetting that he left it there. And giving us on the right a treasure trove of information. Imagine somebody with such conviction. How dare you spread misinformation by the person spreading misinformation? Amazing. Amazing the absolute lack of a soul and lack of conscience these people have. All right, more on the plane crash in Philadelphia. Learjet was transporting, man, this is sad, folks. This is sad stuff here. Six people, a child patient, yeah, I was afraid it was an air ambulance, and their chaperone, as well as two pilots and two doctors, all on board perished. Man, that's a sad freaking story, man. Sad, sad story. I don't want to take the life out of this podcast, but man, it's a sad story. All right, we'll just do what the network news does. We'll just keep acting like things aren't sad. Let's go to the next one. All right, Eric Doherty tweet just in. Trump administration, another great thing here. This is what you do. Why don't all Republicans do this? Why doesn't every governor do this, Republican governor? Well, I might lose votes. You're never going to lose votes doing this. The only votes that you're not going to get are the ones you never get by doing this. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? The only votes that you're not going to get are ones you're never going to get. It's just like sitting there at your confirmation hearing and it's Pete Hegseth and Bernie Sanders is interviewing you, is questioning. I mean, you basically should just sit there and just make fun of the guy the whole time because you're never going to get his vote anyway. You might as well just make fun of him.
Yeah.
There's no point in it. As a matter of fact, what I would do, if you don't believe I would do this, you don't know me well enough, I would have a sheet prepared on all of their malfeasance and illegalities for each person I knew. Because I love specifics. That's why I love what RFK did. You're the number one recipient of pharmaceutical money, Bernie, of anybody in the year 2020. You're number one. And when Bernie said that stuff about those were all individual contributions, really? Did they go through Act Blue, those individual contributions? That actually are attributed, what they do is they have one block lump sum that comes in, and then they say that one person gave 47,000 times. It was actually a violation of campaign finance laws. Don't have time to get into it, but that's the money Bernie got. So Trump administration orders federal employees to remove all pronouns from their email signatures. I love it. It's what you do. You don't like it? He's already fired. I haven't got to that story yet. Well, I won't get to it now. It's old news. But he fired, I think it was 60 federal employees because they refused to conform with Trump's anti-DEI policies. In other words, remember I showed you where they tried to change their names from like DEI coordinator, which isn't, you know, isn't the right name, but whatever, you know, race relations, DEI coordinator. They tried to change it from office coordinator, and then they changed the name to office coordinator. Well, Trump caught all of those people and fired them anyway. That's what you do. These people are never going to vote for you. They're never going to like you. They don't do anything. They don't help the administration. They don't help the American people. They are nothing but little piglets on the teat of the taxpayer. They never perform any services that benefit you and I, so you might as well get rid of them. And that's what Trump is doing. When you tell 2 million federal employees, you got till February 6th to decide whether you want to stay or not. If you want to stay, you will report to the office. Because somewhere in the neighborhood of 60, I can't remember the percentages. I mean, I don't want to say 60% because that's too low. It's 60 to 80 something percent of Washington, D.C. federal employees aren't reporting to work. Byron Donalds was on the PBD podcast and he was saying, you know what? These buildings are all empty and they're all rented. Many of them are rented. And the ones that aren't rented, we're paying for the lights and the heating for people who aren't there. And this is what goes on years after billions and billions and billions of dollars flushed down the toilet in a country where $37 trillion in debt. So this is what you do to your adversaries. You figuratively burn them to the ground. You burn them to the ground. That's what you do. Again, right out of Numbers 33:55. Don't allow the inhabitants of the land to stay, or there'll be thorns in your sides and irritants in your eyes. And they will harass you in the land where you dwell. Get rid of them. You know what? They want to have theirs on their email. Absolutely fine. You're fired. There you go. All right, let's go to the next one, Brett. The pick from Gateway Pundit. Breaking, huge scalp. Told you one right after another. Costa, Jake Tapper, Bob, 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 Bob. Here's another one. David Sundberg, gone. Trump fires head of FBI Washington field office. David Sundberg cans more than 20 heads of FBI field offices. What you do? You know, again, I'll ask you this. You're like, well, who's going to fill these positions? Why do you care? I mean, Aaron, do you care?
No.
I don't care. What's the FBI ever done for you?
Nothing.
FBI ever done anything for you, Brent?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking because the FBI's done nothing for me. Not one thing. I was even a cop for 25 years, never did one thing for me. So, I mean, I don't care. My opinion, Aaron always has to remind me of it. He probably won't remember now because it's been like several months since I've asked him. But Aaron has the date at some point when the FBI was formed here in the United States.
I think it was
1913, too.
Yeah.
So we were perfectly fine from 1776 to 1913 without him.
Yeah.
We don't need him now. All you need, if you're like, well, how do you do cross-jurisdictional things? You do cross-jurisdictional task forces. Or you strip the FBI to the studs. Don't even use the name anymore, Federal Bureau of Instigation. I know it's investigation, but I have renamed them. You don't even name them the FBI anymore. You change it to a totally different name and have a federal police force. But I don't really like federal police forces either. Too powerful. Too powerful, too corrupt, and the run out of D.C. Now, if you don't run them out of D.C., there's a possibility you could have an honest, unbiased federal police force. But it'd have to be run in a different place out of D.C. So there's another scalp. Steve Sundberg gone and 20 heads of FBI field offices. Gonzo, and they're freaking out about it on mainstream media. Great, good. Don't ever let them. Now, as they focus on the plane crash from yesterday, now Trump's out here firing everybody. And when he's done firing them, they're going to have to worry about Tulsi Gabbard being confirmed or RFK Jr. being confirmed. And Trump's next executive order. Just keep them moving and do it for 4 years. Then they can never fixate on one story. Because if they can fixate on a story, if you're strong, they'll never destroy you. But if they can fixate on a story, damage can be done. All right, let's go to the next one. Eric Doherty tweet. Breaking, Illinois governor, and here's the opposition. Here's the opposition rising. Illinois governor J.B. Pritzker has banned all J6 2021 riders from ever being employed by any branch of the Illinois state government, which is illegal. Illegal. You can't do that. But you know what? Absolutely fine. Let him do those things, and then we respond. And I know that I'm acting like I got a mouse in my pocket by saying we. I'm just going to go ahead and consider the Trump administration mine. So then we will respond. How do you respond? Cut off all federal dollars to the state of Illinois. See how they like that? A state that's already, because it's run by fat boy Pritzker, a state that's already billions and billions and billions of dollars in debt anyway, go ahead and cut their federal financing from them. Trump can do it. Why? Because he's the head of the executive branch. Just cut their federal funding from them. There you go. Just see what JB does. Just like we have the 20, you know, that's not even 24 hours now because they're initiated tomorrow. The tariffs over Canada, Mexico, and China, 25% tariffs, because they're letting all the fentanyl in and letting, you saw the Jack Posobiec video in the pregame, if you watched the pregame, which is just showed what I've said a million times on the podcast. There is no border between us and Canada. There's nothing exists. Nothing, I mean, there's sticks in the ground that say do not enter. It's on the, I actually have it for the border section of the show if I get to it. But there is no border. So Trump is saying, I'm sick and tired of you flushing your immigrant toilet. And yeah, I said that. I don't care what people think. A lot of people care what people think. I don't. I honestly don't. Tom, you could lose your church over not caring what people think. Okay, I'll move to the side of the mountain, ski down it every day and go to a ski lift and disappear into oblivion. Oh, no. What about people? I love people, but you know what? I don't care what they think. I honestly don't care. It's very freeing to have absolutely no caring about what anybody thinks. I know, Tom, you've been banned off of Facebook. I know. We'd have a podcast right now with probably tens of thousands of people watching if we weren't banned, because in our first week we had close to 1,000 people watching. We got banned off of everything. Yeah. But I'm not going to bow because I don't care. That's what's great. The only thing I care about is serving God Almighty and not going to hell. That's really what I care about. Where the heck am I? Oh, J.B. Pritzker. All right, so J.B. Pritzker will get what he deserves. All right, so let me, I got to show you this one. I just threw this in here. It's kind of like not really part of the, not part of the, just the Trump section of the show. But I just had to throw this in here because the video is just too good to show, too good not to show. May's video, May's Moore video, make sure you follow him or her on Twitter. Hey, everyone, take a look at what a fraud Amy Klobuchar is. So here she is interviewing one of Trump's conference, you know, I can't remember whether it was Patel or RFK or Tulsi Gabbard. But here she is interviewing one of Trump's nominees, and look at who she really is. Play for me.
One of the names on your list was Bill Barr. Chairman Grassley has called him one of the most capable cabinet officials I've ever been able to vote for. Senator Graham has said, I have nothing but total respect and admiration for the job done by William Barr as Attorney General of the United States. Is Bill Barr on your list of whatever you want to call them, you know, been referred to as an enemies list? You've called them deep state after serving his country as the Attorney General of the United States. Is he on your list because of a personal vendetta?
Do you believe Mr. Barr is an honest man? Do you believe that he is serving the public interest in his actions over the past several weeks? Or do you believe he is only serving Donald Trump's interest?
It feels like to me that he's serving Donald Trump's interest. I questioned him about this at length in the Judiciary Committee hearing. I didn't support him because I feared this would happen. I don't think it's a surprise that he did this four-page summary to kind of set the tone before that report came out. Instead, he chose to basically try to manipulate public opinion. And I just think that was wrong.
Do you believe Bill Barr's an honest man?
I don't think the way he approached this is honest, because if you wanted to approach it honestly, you wouldn't have tried to summarize it without putting the actual report out first. I don't think that summary served any purpose but to help Donald Trump. He basically was laying the groundwork to say, hey, this doesn't look that bad.
So once again, a disingenuous, moralist, principleless, political whore, political prostitute. Tommy, you shouldn't say that about women. I just said it. That's who she is. And when it's Cash Patel, and Cash Patel doesn't like Bill Barr, and it's politically expedient for her to attack him on that, she's Bill Barr's best friend. Just like suddenly the Cheneys became best friends of the Democrats, and the Romneys became best friends of the Democrats, because they found it, I guess, allegedly politically beneficial for them to be their friends. But when Bill Barr's working for Donald Trump, she hates him. See, we aren't like that. You and I aren't like that. We don't, you know, have, you know, Trump's our friend one second, then not our friend the next. You and I aren't like that. Soulless, principleless, political whores, they're like that. They're like that. Is Bill Barr on your list? She should be happy that he's on Cash Patel's vengeance list, which doesn't exist. She should be happy. Because she just said Bill Barr's corrupt. That's what she just said. So she should be happy that the incoming FBI director is going to go after Bill Barr. Oh, but wait a minute. Because she believes that somehow politically beneficial for her, Bill Barr becomes her best friend. That's what you call a whore. That's what she is. That's the kind of person these people are. All right, just side by side, the next one. Buck Sexton video. Just wanted to show you this. This is Walter Reed Medical Center. This is supposed to be where, you know, where all of our troops are, our veterans are treated for various, obviously all sorts of medical and mental issues. Supposed to be state of the art. It's flooded, and it's in years worth of disrepair. This is what the Biden administration, they say they honor our veterans, right? Don't they always say this is Walter Reed Medical Center? That's how it's left by the Biden administration. This is it right here. Isn't that great? The flooding is inside Walter Reed, again, Buck Sexton. National Military Center, source tells me, following years of neglect. Oh, who's in charge, Aaron, for the last 4 years?
Biden.
That's right. This is what they left. Yeah. I just wanted to show you this. This is what Trump inherits from these people. A cesspool, just like he did the last time. All right, let's go to the next one. Peter St. Ange video, Trump economy here. Trump is doubling down on repealing the entire income tax. I remember when Steve Forbes ran for president, I didn't really understand the flat tax. Man. Flat tax be so good, wouldn't it? But now they're talking about going back to the only time America wasn't broke. Only time that we were really financially solvent. I mean, we've been in way less debt. I mean, like literally 25 years ago, year 2000, we were less than $1 trillion in debt. Now we're almost just shy of $37 trillion in debt. But when we were solvent, when we had zero debt, guess what else we had? Zero income tax. And all you hear is the Democratic Party propaganda all the time about increasing taxes, never cutting spending, but increasing taxes on the rich. Again, you $37 trillion in debt. You can confiscate Elon Musk's wealth, demons like Billy Gates' wealth, who's some other rich people?
George Soros.
George Soros' wealth. I don't know if he's, you know, is he a citizen of the United States? But anyway, I don't know. The wealthiest of wealthy people. You can confiscate all their wealth in the United States. Again, we're $37 trillion in debt. If you confiscate all their wealth, it'd be under $4 trillion. And they always tell you, we need to make everybody pay their fair share as we go further and further and further in debt. And everyone pays more and more and more and more. But the debt just keeps going up and up and up because they never cut spending. So it's always the endless political debate. And by the way, if you ever notice, it flows both through Republican and Democratic administrations. It's the exact same thing every time. When a Republican is in a lot, sometimes when a Republican is in charge, they cut taxes, but spending continues to increase. So the debt continues to increase and they print money to pay the debt. So prices continue to increase. So you have also hyperinflation and we have debt increases and inflation, you have stagflation. So the only time that we were actually solvent was when we had no income tax. There's actually no income tax going into the government. You and I, they average, they've already put out that I don't want to get at Peter saying on. I'll say one thing. If they cut the income tax, the average household in America would gain $30,000 today. I could use that.
Yeah.
I could use $30,000. You guys?
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to have an extra $30,000. All right, Peter saying on. Play for me, Brent.
Donald Trump is doubling down on completely repealing the income tax, replacing it with tariffs on foreigners. The left, who uses the income tax to suck the blood from the American people on behalf of giant corporations and pink-haired child mutilators, are popping their little heads. Now, during the campaign, Trump had repeatedly mused, what if we just get rid of the income tax and abolish the IRS? The left was not taking him seriously because, like, politicians say all kinds of stuff when they're trying to get elected. But now, with the election safely under his belt, Trump is not letting it go. In fact, he's doubling down. In an address to a major GOP policy retreat in Florida, Trump ran through the history of the tariff, how America was much richer as a country when we funded the federal government not off the blood, sweat, and tears of the American people, but off foreigners in the form of tariffs. Of course, that golden age ended in 1913 with the left's victorious imposition of an income tax that was originally promised as only hitting the top 1%, but today, of course, hits everybody. Now, I've talked about the tariffs for income tax trade-off, but in short, if you get rid of the income tax and replace it with tariffs, you're looking at a $1.5 trillion net decline in federal taxes, so you would need Elon's Doge to cut spending. In return, you would massively raise income, raise economic growth, and lower inflation. I've estimated the average American household would see something like a $30,000 rise in annual income. That's about 40%. And it comes to about $2,500 per month. About half of that would come from the taxes you no longer pay, the other half from higher economic growth, since we would no longer be taxing work or entrepreneurship. The higher growth would be what's lowering inflation, since inflation is money chasing goods. More goods, a bigger economy, means lower prices. That would easily offset whatever tariffs due to prices. Moreover, and Trump's highlighted this, an America without an income tax would be easily the most attractive country to produce on earth. Especially paired with tariffs and regulatory cuts, which Trump is also pushing, literally every country on earth would start trying to move production to America. China would be the one crying about rust belts. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. I was giddy about a presidential candidate merely talking about ending the income tax. Now we've got a sitting president who actually wants it. Hard to overstate just how massive this is. Having said, can it happen? With Republicans controlling all three branches, absolutely. Legislatively, you just repeal the Revenue Act of 1913, stroke of a pen, the IRS is gone forever. And thanks to something called reconciliation, any bill that primarily affects revenue, which this is by definition, only needs simple majority in Congress to pass for 10 years. at which point I suspect the American people will not want an income tax they have not been paying for 10 years. In short, after generations of promising to battle for smaller government, the GOP finally has the chance to make all their promises come true. Trump wants it. The American people want it. Gallup says Americans think their taxes are too high by 15 to 1. The last barrier is Republicans in Congress who, in theory, serve you. Read the rest with charts and all the gory details at prophecyandunch.com.
All right, so get this now. Aaron, you put up that and put up the Federal Reserve thing. So get this now. It's all very coincidental. It's just all coincidence, right? I mean, you really have to be somebody with a 61 IQ to believe that everything's coincidence. You have to be so stupid to believe everything's coincidence. So really, the income tax, although it made an appearance in the 1800s, really became established law in 1913 under the 16th Amendment. And right then, when that was created, guess what else was created? The Federal Reserve was created on December 23rd of 1913. Isn't that weird that our entire economic system, which is based on income tax, was then turned over to private bankers who camouflage themselves by calling themselves Federal Reserve when it's not actually federal, it's private reserve? Amazing, isn't it, how all these coincidences just happen? And again, it's always, you know what, we need to tax more. Not Trump. I mean, we need to tax. Even remember when Herbert Walker Bush, read my lips, no new taxes. Remember, then he taxed the crap out of all of us. Remember that? And crashed the economy. It's very difficult. I remember because that's when my police career began, and nobody could find a job when I got out of the academy. So no matter who's in office, it's always increased taxes and the debt goes up, or decrease taxes and the debt goes up. And what Democrats always say is we need to increase taxes to attack the debt, and then they increase taxes and then spend more and the debt goes up. It's like that every time. The income tax makes no sense at all. Imagine, here's the numbers. Wouldn't you like to have $30,000 a year more on average? Yeah. Now, you might make a lot more than that. You know what I'm saying? So that would be like, that's average. So if you're someone making $200,000, you get a whole lot more than that per year back. Also, how would you like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, on average, $2,500 more a month?
Oh, man.
I would like that.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I would enjoy that. That's a mortgage payment. Yeah. Plus, I mean, I would enjoy that, wouldn't you? Instead of working your entire life and then having nothing to show for it. If all of us had $30,000 more a year, if you want to blow it, you can blow it in $2,500 a month, but I'd be packing it away. At least some of it anyway. But anyway, all right, let's move on to the crash from last night. Benny Johnson video. Again, I want to just side-by-side this again. Benny Johnson video. I think Aaron, play this for me, just side-by-side. I'm going to make sure I got the right video here. Is that my time-lapse one?
Yeah, at the bottom.
Crap. I need that, the one that was better. Maybe that's it. That's it. No, it's not the right one. It's my fault. It's not their fault. But there it is. But I don't know, Aaron. I don't know if you can remember it from last night. It's the one I had you holstered last night.
Yeah, I'll find it.
See if you can find it because that's the one I need. So there's the crash. Horrible. Oh, my gosh. You know what? Let's do this. Before that, I want to just play this video. And that way, just to, I don't want to use callous terms here. But basically, just to kind of set the story in place, play the video for me. Just get me out of here.
To the water. These videos obtained exclusively by CNN show previously unseen angles of the collision between an American Airlines flight and a US Army Black Hawk helicopter. In the first video, the Black Hawk can be seen flying at speed over the Potomac from the left side of the screen. The American Airlines plane can be seen flying towards the airport before the two collide, causing a mid-air explosion and fall into the river. In the second video, you can see the Army helicopter and American Airlines plane travel toward each other. After the collision and subsequent explosion, the airliner can be seen spinning into the water, and the Black Hawk is also seen falling into the water.
All right, so there you go. And that's actually new footage that was released only to CNN. But here's the one that I showed over and over again last night. This is the amount of time there was for this to be avoided. We're all sitting here, we're all going, how on earth could this have happened? Again, look at all this time. And last night, I won't do it ad nauseum again. It's already 9:47, which I can't believe it's already 9:47. But you just look at all this time that it could have been avoided. How did that just run right back to the beginning again? And look at all that. See, that's the helicopter right there. The plane isn't even in the frame yet. Now the plane is in the frame. Look at all this time. There has to be an explanation. Now I'm going to play you the longest video we've ever played in the history of the podcast, 13 minutes long. This is a Michelle Maxwell video, another perspective. And this is a pilot running down what he believes happened. Because this is like Benny Johnson said, how is this even possible? Well, here's a pilot's explanation. With me, it's pure conjecture. With you, it's pure conjecture. Go conspiracies where it was a suicide flight. We don't know yet. This is from a pilot's perspective about how it could happen in a non-conspiratorial way. Play it for me, Brent.
Here's what happened last night. I'm able to secure the actual audio from the incident over the Potomac last night. Let's listen in together.
Yeah, 79 contact so far today.
Okay.
American Southern 130 for the final.
You're going to see a back and forth now between Reagan Tower and the various aircraft that they have lined up on approach into the airport. This happened at about 8:46 p.m. Last evening, and you can see there's several airplanes lined up. That's typical coming in about that time of night at Reagan. They're talking to American Airlines 3130. Which I think is number two for the runway. They're telling them to slow down to their final approach speed because they're separating everybody on the way in. It's going to turn out that American 3130 is a key player in what happens here.
Well, American 3130. Pat 25, Shepard just off the Wilson Bridge this here today.
Pat 25 is the helicopter that ran into the CRJ 700. It was a PSA flight. The flight number is 5342. It would go under the call sign Blue Streak. Blue Streak 5342. You don't ever hear them talking to Tower. They've already been cleared to land on runway 33. So they would come in on an approach on runway 1, and then they would kind of circle the land on runway 33. It's a little shorter runway, but they take some of the regional jets and they put them on that runway. Pat 25 is the Black Hawk helicopter that is just south of the Woodrow Bridge. And they've just taken off. They're airborne. The tower is saying to them, there's traffic. It's a CRJ. It's at 1,200 feet, lined up for runway 33. Do you have that traffic? Pat 25 is going to call back and say yes.
It's 1,200 feet, start runway 33.
Pat 25 says, has the traffic in sight, request visual separation. What that means is that they're going to take responsibility for visual separation from that aircraft. What happened? Here's what I think happened. This is not the final word on it, but what I think happened was it was at night. There's several airplanes lined up. There is that Blue Streak 5342, which is a CRJ that they ran into. Right behind them, just a few miles, is American 3130. Everybody has their lights on as they're coming in. I believe the helicopter looked at the American 3130 and said, I've got the traffic in sight, and they never saw the airplane, the CRJ, that was right next to them. That's my conjecture on what happens.
Special separation. Proof. American 1630 Tower, runway 1 off, Woodchuck, Giraffe, runway 33,
this is typical stuff that's going on in a busy airport. They're lining somebody up to take off. They're saying, pay attention. I'm going to give you an immediate takeoff here. I've got traffic lining up for runway 33. That's the CRJ that got ran into. And he's on a 6 mile final. It might be somebody even behind him, but they're lining everybody up to take off and to land.
Blue Streak 5307. Keep rolling out from November, top 47 today.
You can see at the bottom of your screen there, CRJ, the Blue Streak 5342, they're beginning to now kind of come out a little bit to line up the runway, to land on runway 33. They're not going to go right straight down the river. They got to come out a little bit wider and come in. But remember, Pat 25, which is up here, the helicopter at the middle of your screen, they've already said, we accept responsibility for visual separation.
American 1630 1 star 3204 Gus 25 Shepard 2 mile up base from runway 33. No delay from a 1 clear for me to take off.
American to take off.
Clear to take off. American 1630.
Here it comes. Now, the tower is seeing what's happening, and they're saying, do you have the CRJ in sight? Because you guys are getting kind of close. And the Pat 2-5, the helicopter, says once again, yeah, and I'm asking for visual separation. Okay, the responsibility is on you then.
Pat 2-5, pass on it, CRJ.
This club has a aircraft in sight, request visual separation.
Okay, so Pat 2-5 says, has the aircraft in sight, request visual separation. I don't think they had these guys in sight. I think they had the airplane behind them in sight. That's why this is such a tragedy.
American 4782 by Bat, now for individual.
American 472, Oscar, 1-star, 3-2-3-1-7.
So you hear somebody in the tower go, oh, and they see what just happened. As you can see in your screen here, the collision took place. The tower has seen it happen in real time. Their human beings are reacting just like you and I would. The helicopter ran into the CRJ. The CRJ's airspace was their airspace. In front of them, behind them, on both sides of them, it was the responsibility of the helicopter to maintain visual separation. They even told him a couple times, do you got him in sight? Do you got him in sight? He said, yep, got him in sight. I'm accepting responsibility for the separation. And I think just like when you're driving in a car and you look and you see a car behind the one that almost hit you, you see that car and you didn't see the one right here. And when you turn out in front, sometimes there's a collision. It's really tragic when this happens in an airplane. Again, it's been decades since there's been a mid-air collision in this country. This is such an unusual circumstance to take place. It's such a tragedy. It's been 12 years since there's been a fatality in a commercial airliner here in the United States. That's unprecedented. And that wasn't a mid-air collision. That was just an accident. This is a mid-air collision, and this hasn't happened in forever. So now we know what's going on here. Pat 2-5, the helicopter, accepted responsibility for visual separation. They probably had their eyes on the airplane behind them, and then they tragically ran into these guys.
Tower, did you see that? 472. American 3130, go around, turn left in 250, climb 3000.
So now what happens from the tower's perspective is they have to work through denial pretty fast. They just saw this happen in real time in front of them. They're human beings like the rest of us. They're kind of in shock. But they've still got airplanes coming in. They've got American Airlines 1630, which just took off. They've got to hand them off to departure. They got American 3130 that's coming in. They got American 472 behind them. They've got to do something with these airplanes. The airplane port is going to be shut here in a second. So they're going to start telling all these guys to go around while they're trying to handle the emergency and get the emergency equipment out. And all of that is, everybody's kind of in a little fog for a few seconds here. While all of this is taking place, the tragedy of it hits you hard. And they're very professional. Watch how they handle this. But, man, they're busy.
Okay, left hand 350-3000, American 3130.
Tower boost streak 5347 is on final. Request runway 33, circle to 33.
Second heading for American 3130.
American 3130, go out. Turn left hand 270, climb maintain 3000.
270 on the heading, 3000.
See how fast he's talking? He's trying to get all these other airplanes out of here.
Crash, crash, crash. This is alert 3. Crash, crash, crash.
Okay, what's MWAA? It's the Metro Washington Airport Authority. Every airport has some sort of governing authority over it. Many times it's called the Port Authority. Up in Boston, it's Mass Port, right? In New York, it's the Port Authority. Down here in Washington, it's the Metro Washington Airport Authority. They're now announcing officially there's a crash. So they go over the radio and they broadcast to everybody. The tower is the main recipient of this, that there's been a crash. He's going to repeat that. That puts a whole bunch of things into motion all at the same time. The fire crews now are going to jump in their uniforms. They're going to get in their fire trucks. They're going to drive to where the crash is. There's going to be details about this coming. But this whole thing is very frenzied and happens very fast. But these are really highly trained professionals. They do a really terrific job.
Alert 3. Crash, crash, crash. This is alert 3.
An alert 3 is a crash.
Where's the alert 3?
It is off the approach end of runway 33. Approach end of runway 33. Helicopter crash.
Helicopter. Copy out this morning.
Crash, crash, crash. Alert 3. Two helicopters.
Okay, so again, fog of war. The first report that they get is that it's two helicopters. They're going to clarify this really quickly because the tower is talking back and forth to them. The tower is going to say, nope, nope, it was a CRJ and a helicopter. So they get this, it's cleared up pretty fast.
Helicopter CRJ approaching runway 33.
That's really fast.
The approach in runway 33, a mile long final. Crash, crash, crash. Kilo CRJ approaching 33.
Okay. How many tools on board?
We don't have any information. We don't have any of that information. Tower's reporting a CRJ and a helicopter crash into the Potomac River.
Salute. They're passing the information back and forth to the first responders who need it. Everybody's trying to clarify while they're jumping in their trucks and they're heading out there. Now they know exactly where they're going. It's at the approach end of runway 33. It's somewhere in the Potomac. Now they're going to have to coordinate boats and other things. Eventually, they're going to get helicopters involved.
Can we go ahead and hold all operations until we have emergency units respond? We're going to go ahead and show the aerodrome closed.
They want to close the airport so they can go.
Yeah, that's affirmative. All hand. Operations aerodrome closed.
Everything's closed. Huh?
And everybody just hold your positions, please, on the field right now.
Okay, so this is the ground controller. Now, the ground controller is the one that's going to get all these trucks going where they need to go. But the ground controller needs to stop all the airplanes. So she just makes a blanket broadcast. Everybody stop right where you are. Every once in a while, you kind of half hear that, and then you say, okay, I'm sorry. And there's also people asking to be released from their gate to go. They're not into what's going on yet because they just put their headsets on and they're just getting ready to go. One aircraft's going to ask to do this, and she's just going to say, everybody stop.
That's 438, ready for tech.
Everyone's going to have to hold for down.
No.
I'll get back to you just as soon as I can. Fire command, the accident happened in the river. Both the helicopter and the plane crashed in the river. It's east of the approach end of runway 33.
It's amazing to me how much clarity they have about actually what happened and where it happened. Many times in an accident like this, it takes 5 to 10 minutes just to get everything sorted out. They're very good here at getting it all very concise. And so the response time was phenomenal on this.
Is the airfield closed?
Yes, the airfield is closed. The airfield is closed.
Runways as well.
Okay, ARF is the aircraft rescue and firefighters. That's the actual fire chief that's in the fire truck. He's asking, is the airport closed and are all the runways closed as well? That way he can expedite getting out there. He doesn't have to stop and ask, can I cross this runway? Can I go on that taxiway? She's about to tell him, the whole place is shut down. You go. You own the airport now.
All runways are closed. Nobody's landing. No one's moving at all.
And we have clearance across all taxiways and runways, correct?
Yes, you have clearance through the whole field, all taxiways and runways.
So basically she's saying to these guys, go. And at that moment, the fire trucks take off. What we know about the accident at this point is that there were no survivors. It's now a recovery operation. That's the sad part about all of this, and that's the part that really hits us hard right here. But
all right, so there you go. I hope that wasn't too long. I like stuff, very specific analysis, breaking down minute by minute the radio transmissions. Let me read you this now. And again, I like extreme specificity. That's why I was always attacking statistics on COVID and everything else. This is a Wayne Allyt Root article out of the Gateway Pundit. My longtime friend and retired colonel in the U.S. Army. So there you have an airline pilot. In the last video we just showed you is an airline pilot. Now we're going to see it from the perspective of a Black Hawk pilot. All right. So I hope you like this level of specificity. My longtime friend is a retired colonel in the U.S. Army who served in the roles of both Black Hawk helicopter pilot and Black Hawk crew chief as well. No one knows this helicopter better than my friend. We're going to call him, again, it's Wayne Allyt Root, Colonel Joe. Known mistakes by the Black Hawk, you read this entire article at the Gateway Pundit. Known mistakes by the Black Hawk flight crew point to a lack of experience and or competence. Now, we've been hearing, even from Pete Hegseth, because he doesn't know yet, because he's receiving propaganda, people trying to butt cover, that this was an experienced crew. Is that true? No. This was not an experienced crew. Never would happen if it was an experienced crew. This was a short-staffed, short-experienced crew. Inexperienced crew. We've heard in the media that both pilots were, quote unquote, experienced. This is just not true. Someone is blowing smoke to the media, to President Trump, to the Defense Secretary, to cover their butts. The collective level of experience of the pilots was not impressive. And it was not the trainee pilot, by the way, that everybody thought it was. That's all been debunked. I do have the video from the trainee pilot that everybody thought was flying it for about 2 hours today. And by the way, I uploaded that to the podcast too, because I'm thinking, it would fit perfectly in the narrative that some crazy guy in hormones decides to kill himself. But anyway, it looks like because the only trans genocide of the trans people genociding other people. The flight crew's level of experience is like comparing a rookie in the NFL to a second-year player. The pilot had the experience of a second-year player, while the co-pilot was a rookie. This was not an experienced crew to be flying at night near a major airport. So this crew never should have been in the air. In other words, when you have the tower asking them, do you see that airplane? And they said, quote, request visual separation. So they're saying, we're requesting that you allow us to determine how to fly our craft because we see the airplane. But this crew was not an experienced crew to be flying at night near a major airport without a second crew chief. So there's supposed to be another crew chief on this helicopter, this Black Hawk helicopter. The second greatest error in this accident was the decision to fly without a second crew chief on the left-hand side of the Black Hawk. Is that why? Now, if I'm looking at the video, which I don't know what I'm talking about, but when I'm looking at the video, when it's flying to my right, and the other, and this is not going to be gonna make any sense on video camera, but maybe I can do it with my pieces of paper. So you have the helicopter, which is this one, flying towards the airplane coming in. It would be the left window that would have to see this helicopter.
Correct.
Okay, Aaron's got it. Aaron is a pilot in training. He's landed at airports with commercial airliners there.
Yeah.
So they don't have the person at the window who would correctly see that plane. And it's an inexperienced crew who never should have been approved to fly at night for a training op at Reagan National. This is why we have to have Trump back. Who's been running this military for the last 4 years? Mark Milley, Lloyd freaking Austin, who disappears for a month. Nobody even knows where the man is. Week, I apologize. It really was monthish, but. The single greatest error in this accident was the decision to fly without a second crew chief on the left-hand side of the Black Hawk, who could have provided an extra set of eyes to look out and up to see the approaching American Airlines passenger plane. Because a lot of people think, how can you not see it? Well, if the airplane is above you, you ever try when your wife, who's shorter than you, says, look up in the sky, you're driving down the road, says, hey, look at the eagle. You can't see it because she's shorter, so she could see further out.
That's true.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're like, I can't see it. She's like, it's right there. I can't because I'm too high to see it.
Yeah.
Because the roof of the car is blocking me. Well, she's lower, and she can see it because she can see more from the outside because she's not as hindered by the roof. Well, the same thing here. Except the only problem is that there's hundreds of lives in the balance at this time 67. An extra set of eyes to look out and up to see the approaching American Airlines passenger plane. Flight unit leadership failed to recognize the need for a second crew chief in the mission planning and risk assessment process. This is where either incompetence or DEI or both may have come into play. And we'll get who it was that was flying this thing. It's going to come out, obviously. This was certainly poor leadership. This flight needed a second crew chief, which is the normal staffing for this flight. But it is permitted to not have the second crew chief, but it is best practice to have the second crew chief. And if you're going to be flying near Reagan National, which is an international airport, you might want to have full staffing on the helicopter. Would everybody agree?
Yeah. Especially at night.
Yeah. This was certainly poor leadership. This flight needed a second crew chief on the left side of the chopper. So this backs up what the commercial airliner pilot said in the first video, which is they simply did not see it, but they probably would have seen it if they had the second crew chief there. There you go. All right, Tom Elliott video. NBC's Tom Costello, FAA air traffic control boss, lets supervisor leave early before. It's all just a big conglomeration of horrible decisions. FAA air traffic control boss let supervisor leave early before mid-air crash. Play for me.
Reagan National again. He's got the very latest this morning. Tom, good morning.
Savannah, good morning. A high-level investigative source tells me that they have now confirmed that an FAA air traffic control supervisor in the tower here at Reagan had allowed a supervisor to leave early, and as a result, there was only one supervisor Wednesday night handling both helicopter traffic and plane traffic. Normally, you would have one dedicated to helicopters, one dedicated to planes. Now, while this is not optimal, it is allowed, but nonetheless, that will clearly be a part of this investigation. Air traffic control staffing nationwide, as you know, has been an ongoing issue with a shortage of 10,000 controllers nationwide. It's been a problem years in the making, and so now the question is whether staffing in any way played a role in this accident. In addition, I have also learned that, in fact, investigators are going to be looking closely at the black box, the flight data recorder, when they get it from that Black Hawk helicopter, because that will tell them and give them a precise reading on the altitude for that helicopter. There is evidence that the chopper was higher than it should have been. In fact, at the same altitude as that plane. Well, the question is going to be, why was it at that altitude? Did they have an altimeter misfiring or misreading, if you will, inside the chopper? That'll be part of this investigation. I can also tell you the NTSB spent time with the families of the victims yesterday here in the Washington area, briefing them on the status of the investigation. And the NTSB has brought in its own Black Hawk helicopter pilot from Alaska, who is an expert on the Black Hawk. He is employed by the NTSB, but they have brought him into Washington to be their own eyes and ears and their expert on the Black Hawk, in addition to the Defense Department's own investigative team that will be looking into what happened on board that helicopter. And then separately, the NTSB, of course, looking into what happened with the plane. All of this now, less than 2 days after this horrific crash in which everybody on board both aircraft were killed. Back to you, Savannah.
All right, Tom Costello, thank you for that new report.
So again, just a combination of a lot of bad decisions. The flight crew never should have been approved on the Black Hawk, never should have been approved. They were inexperienced pilots. One was in training, one was a second-year pilot. That never should happen. They were understaffed on the Black Hawk. They should have had a second crew chief that could look out the left window and see and definitively see the airplane coming in. They allowed a air traffic control boss. They let the supervisor leave before the mid-air collision. Therefore, you had one person doing two people's jobs. Just a whole bunch of bad decisions led to this. So let's look at the state of the FAA real quick. Libs of TikTok video. Former air traffic controller describes how the FAA has been overtaken by DEI. Play for me.
This is a preventable disaster. The system has been under attack due to DEI and the FAA bowing to wokeness since 2010, since the Obama administration. The lack of staffing is directly attributable to the Obama administration terminating the lists of eligible, well-trained air traffic control statements in 36 universities across the country in 2013 because they were too white. The FAA also, at the same time, implemented an immunity program. So you think you're seeing legitimate statistics, you're not. In the old days, before 2010, the immunity program, if an air traffic controller got two airplanes too close, too many times, they would be decertified and retrained. Now, They're not. All they have to do within 48 hours of being noticed or being investigated for a potential separation error, they're called operational errors in the FAA, the controller just simply has to avail themselves of this program that gives them immunity. And when I say immunity, I mean immunity. The FAA cannot retrain these people. If somebody has a repetitive instance of malfeasance or lack of competency, the FAA, because of this immunity program, cannot rectify the situation. They have to basically allow the person to remain in the same position. It's very, very difficult for the FAA to retrain a controller, and it's attributed to, quite frankly, the union and the FAA working together to use this program to gerrymander the statistics of near-mid-air collisions. Scott, you mentioned that. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Under the Obama administration, she's had a normal test to qualify to be an air traffic controller, which, by the way, you got to be pretty freaking brilliant to do it. And again, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're white, black, woman, man, Indian, Asian, or any other demographic you can possibly think of. I don't care. What I care is who's the most brilliant people that are going to basically do the combination of surgery and short order cook all at the same time with lives in the balance. You have to be that kind of person, a multitasking son of a gun. All right? So you got to be real smart. But the Obama administration, instead of having the normal test that you would take, and the FAA has been sued over this, they had the normal test where it's basically brilliant people pass, stupid people don't, people who shouldn't be air traffic controllers don't pass. So Obama administration replaced that test with what's called a biographical test. Imagine that, Aaron. Where you answer questions about your race and your background. Like, did you come from Native American heritage? And that was the qualifier. And many people who are brilliant didn't pass the biological test, the biographical test, and they were never given an explanation. So you have a guy coming in who, let's say, was an air traffic controller for the Air Force who's brilliant, who has a high ASVAB score, and for some reason doesn't pass the biographical Obama test. And instead, they hire a black woman who couldn't pass the original test to get in, or a white guy who has severe mental challenges, which is also what the Obama administration wanted and the Biden administration wanted. They wanted the mentally challenged to be properly represented as air traffic controllers. No. The mentally challenged can be properly represented as busboys, not air traffic controllers or neurosurgeons, right? Does that make sense? Is that harsh or mean or lacking compassion? No, you know what? Some things, when lives are in the balance, you don't make space for the mentally incompetent, which the Biden administration did for air traffic controllers, for FAA positions. And you don't have a biographical test that replaces a competency test, where what matters is who you have sex with over can you control air traffic. That's what's been going on for the FAA for years. And then when you actually do get in trouble and you screw things up, they have an immunity program which forbids them from disciplining you. So what's the point of even talking to you about it when you screw it up? Now, the biographical test was removed by the Trump administration in 2017, but for all intents and purposes, reinitiated under the Biden administration. So stupid was removed, and then stupid was put back in, of course, by Joseph Robinette Biden. And they've been making sure that gay people and trans people are properly represented as air traffic controllers. So gay people make up 0.1% of the population, and trans people make up 0.0001% of the population, but they have to be properly represented. You know, you would properly represent them, have none of them be air traffic controllers, because that's the segment of the population that they would represent technically on a percentage basis, zero. So anyway, there was this rumor going on. I'm doing this for fun. It's a John Rich video that Joe Ellis was flying from the Virginia National Guard, I believe, was flying the Black Op that crashed into the airliner. That was not the case at all, but he put out a statement. So this is Joe Ellis, who was not flying, obviously not flying the Black Hawk, but why is he allowed in the military? Play for me, Brent.
Interesting morning. This is Joe Ellis, I am a Black Hawk pilot with the Virginia Army National Guard. I understand some people have associated me with the crash in D.C., and that is false. It is insulting to
side by side, Aaron. Whenever you can, get the side by side as quick. You did Joe Ellis thing. So I'm just curious, how is this man allowed in the military? Your name is Joe Ellis. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, I'm never a military man, but I was raised in a military home. Dad was a career naval officer. Aren't there haircut requirements for men? Oh, that's right. He identifies as a woman, is actually called a woman by the military. Of course, this is all about the end. I don't expect this guy to have a job much longer, and he shouldn't. No. He should not have a job. This man who's acting like a woman, and of course it immediately gives away, Brent actually kind of like gasped when he heard it, because he's like, this person just starts talking, and you're like, okay, you can run, but you cannot hide from your deep voice. So, I mean, again, why is this person even in the military? Now, I want to show you this. This is how you handle DEI. This is how you, old video from 2013, Gavin Newsom versus Adam Carolla. We've been talking this whole podcast, or at the beginning of the podcast, about how Trump handles his adversaries correctly. Fire them, humiliate them, get rid of them, remove their jobs, remove them, you know, they hold a position, get rid of the position even. That's how you handle your adversaries, right out of Numbers 3355. This is how you handle an argument with a DEI advocate. Play for me, Brent.
Yeah, but think about it.
Don't have the kids.
Half of African Americans in the state of California, roughly half of Latino families, have no access to a checking account or an ATM. Things we take for granted. They don't have a checking account.
What's wrong with them?
And well, because they don't have the resources to sock those things away.
Why do we have them?
A lot of different reasons, but roughly half those families don't.
Where do they end up? Armenians have them?
But where they end up is in check cashing places.
But I
want to
know why those groups. Why those two groups don't have access?
Well, a lot of. Just happens to be that. We can
so
talk about
flawed?
No, they're hardly flawed, but they're struggling.
Genetically
folks are making
flawed.
Their word. Hardly. Not absolutely.
But okay,
not.
So but
absolutely
do Asians
not.
Have this problem?
I mean, a lot of communities have a lot of whites have these problems.
Oh,
but
so
I just,
that's not just black and Hispanic.
No, but it
but
I'm
why
giving
you bring
it,
up black and Hispanic?
Because the magnitude is ominous.
But why so many of them?
It just happens to be the
just,
magnitude.
That's the way God planned it?
Not at all.
Well, it what just, happened to them?
There are a lot of issues and that the communities are struggling. A lot
why
of new
are they
immigrants.
Struggling?
A lot of different reasons. Lack
Hispanics
of opportunity.
Have been here. Blacks have been here longer than we've been here.
Well, we can surmise.
What
all
about
that.
Asians? They were put in internment camps.
Yeah, we in fact it all initiated at San Francisco.
All right.
The Chinese Exclusion Act came
so
out.
So they
of progressive
are they the check cash? Are they the check cash?
A lot of Asians certainly do.
Oh, so why don't you conclude
because
them?
The only reason why is the magnitude.
There's
the
so
problem,
many more.
The magnitude and percentage.
But there's
terms
no way to figure out how that happened.
Of Africa. We could talk about. You know what I'm dealing with? I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure,
I want
why
to deal
would
with
you?
No.
That is how you handle somebody who's a bold-faced liar like Gavin Newsom. Ask him direct questions about the positions that he holds, and they can't answer it at all. They can never answer it. You know, let's say this. CW, what do you mean Adam Carolla is my number one podcast? I love you anyway. All right, love you guys. Appreciate you. Oh, man, lots of people in the Rumble Rant tonight. Stick around for the post game. Chopper Supernut, $35. Tammy L. Margreter, Matriarch of the Chat, $25. Gucci Buckeye, $10. Ferrison 77, $10. BP2, Tim 17, $10. Patty K. 44, $5. Tina Rowena, $5. ATC Terry, $1. Appreciate you guys so much in the Rumble Rant. Really do. Appreciate all you guys in the chat. Appreciate everybody watching on all the platforms. They have not taken us down yet from Facebook or YouTube. Maybe things are actually changing. Hey, listen. Broke our record because of you last Sunday here at Foundation Church. Trump is great. Trump administration's great. Transition team's great. Everything's going great. 10 great days of Trump. Love it. But Trump won't get you to heaven. Jesus will. And listen, you like this podcast, you like the church. Believe me, you will. It is unfettered. No, listen, no censorship at all at Foundation Church. So join me here this Sunday. At 10 o'clock Eastern time. Don't miss, we broke the record last Sunday. 752 people watching live. Broke the record. Previous record was 712. Thank you so much for that. Let's break. Let's get into 800. Let's get to 1,000. That's the goal. Trying to get to 2,000 here on the podcast every night. So join us here this Sunday at Foundation Church. Aaron will take the stage. You'll see Aaron about 11:15. You'll see him at about 10:15. You'll see me about 11:05 when I go up to preach. And again, you never know what I'll say. And I don't care about, I don't follow no politics from the pulpit. I don't follow any of that crap either because it's not in the Bible. So join us this Sunday at Foundation Church. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. If I don't see you on Sunday morning, I'll see you Monday at 9 p.m. as usual. Love you. Stick around for the post game. I'll see you soon, and God bless you.
I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire. And you really liked it, and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily, or it will go out your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.